Hello. Hello, world.
What's up, world?
What's good? Who am I? I am Sky. I am Fly. I'm from the ATL, where the players dwell. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl, Sills, V8 all day, two up, two down, back in the very cold Northwest for the holidays.
And who are we? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two black women's perspectives on soccer, football, everything between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things black women.
And today, we have special guests to the pod. We have a Christmas tree, and we have a tall man.
Yo, fuck you.
Wait, why you doing? What is all that?
I have a child in here. Wow. All right.
Dang. Oh, Jesus. We got one of the Negro soccer league riders in here.
I mean,
Would y'all like to introduce yourselves to the people?
Yes, please introduce yourselves.
Ebony, please introduce yourself, because the last time that we were on any sort of medium together, you didn't introduce yourself until you had been 20 minutes on the program.
So that's crazy.
Please introduce yourself first.
Wow.
I'm Ebony from North Carolina. Hi.
Okay.
So,
wow.
Manager Ebony. Yeah.
Yes, manager Navidad. Y'all seen the pictures out there? Like the WWE Navidad manager?
And then we had a nice baritone chime in. So would you like to introduce yourself, mayor of CPKC Stadium?
What's going on? My name is Tom Bomb. I'm Tom. Here from Kansas City. Right in the middle of the map.
And what are we going to do today? Today we're going to do a championship rundown recap, because we ain't recording an episode in forever. And then what are we going to do? We're going to talk about KC, the media days, our collaboration with the Black Women's Players Collective, press conference and media day experiences, the wonderful trip we had to the Negro League Museum, skills challenge, and Saturday, the adventures of Saturday, also going to a variety of things and post-game situation in the weekend. So we get into
what happened to that boy?
That boy, know. Right? Like, I was like, that was the only thing I could possibly think of.
But anyway, all right. That was quick. All right, so Thursday. What happened Thursday? Well, actually, we got there Wednesday.
We did. And we had ourselves a grand old time. What's the name of the place we went to, Tom?
We went to Gail's Public House. That is the KC gay sports bar in town.
Yes.
Yay for gays.
We didn't really watch a lot of sports, but that's okay.
We karaoke. We set it off.
It's because didn't we miss bingo or something? What did we miss?
Oh, yeah. Y'all missed drag queen bingo.
Drag queen bingo. That's what we missed.
Why were you so nonchalant about it? Oh, yeah. You know, the sports house. They do drag queen bingo, and then they do karaoke.
But that's
where
okay.
They sell margaritas out of a tap for $5
margaritas. Oh,
they suffered and drank them $5 margaritas. I had water. I had $5 water, free dollar water.
You wanted me to do karaoke. I needed a few of those $5 margaritas. Is what that was.
I had fun karaokeing. So there are videos out there. Hopefully, I don't see them. But anyway, that was fun. Karaokeing. People had hangovers. And then we rolled into, that was Wednesday. We rolled into Thursday.
We do. So our rundown for Thursday was, we had our first media day, media event. And then, like we said, we had wonderful collaborations during championship weekend. And our first was with BWPC for their clinic. Usually they do mini pitches, but it was cold, y'all. Kansas City in November is not a warm place. So we did a lot of inside things. If we want to jump in, I guess, for media day, Tom did not join us yet. He definitely joined us for the clinic. So we'll get into that in just a moment. But Sky and Ebony, just overall impressions of our media day.
It was dumb.
Okay, wow. Jesus Christ. Wow.
Just right into the fire. All right.
Understand, fine. League. Please don't revoke our credentials. That was Ebony. Make sure you know which Negro that was. But anyway.
I mean, if they haven't revoked them after what I did on Friday, it's fine.
Well, yeah, I mean, well.
Correct. That's correct.
True. We gonna get to that. We gonna get
we'll
to
get there. We'll get there.
Okay, all right. I joke, but me today was pretty cool. It was dumb in the sense that they couldn't tell time.
So yeah, okay, yeah, that's true.
And the fact that we couldn't get all the content we needed to, like we had planned. We had a really good plan going into it, but because of the delays or the constant delays where everything just kept getting later and later and later, if it really messed up our agenda. But yeah. It was really cool talking to a lot of the faces you see like every day. Not every day, I'm sorry. You know, Jenna was there, Gal Pals was there, Emily and Leslie. Lindsay came up from North Carolina as well. Just all the faces that you talk to online every day in this crazy little niche area. That was probably the best part about media day, is seeing all them. Because I wasn't going to that whatever media lunch, dinner.
So to describe media day, basically they have several tables all out, and then players from both teams just walk in, and you can talk to every player on the team, whether they playing or not, whether they've seen the field or not. You can talk to everybody and their mama, and it's like boom there. And they got little hors d'oeuvres and stuff, and then it's a free for all. But yeah, I mean, it was cool. The team we saw was Washington Spirit. Because due to all the weather, I don't know if it's Delta, no shade, but whatever airline they delayed coming off the East Coast. Well, yeah, they're both from the East Coast. Yeah, coming into Kansas City, there were delays. So media day was real pushed back. But we talked to Casey Krueger. And yes.
You can just say the Nugas to save time.
Jesus.
We got to Casey Krueger.
McKenna Morris.
McKenna. Croy and Roseman, but everything's in French.
Yeah, so everything's in French. That's,
you got a translator.
Yeah.
That's going to be a ride for y'all.
Yeah, so we do have visual interviews, partially of those. Ebony got a Mac and came to the world of Macs, so it's been a ride. But anyway.
I will leave this podcast.
Why you leave the podcast? You're going to stay there. But anyway, it was cool. You'll hear the audio from that probably in this episode, because I think I found the audio. But with that said, I mean, it was cool. I will say that was a ride for the French translation. But that was dope. They had translators. So, yeah that was cool. Then we had to scoot to the BWPC clinic that was at the Boys and Girls Club. And how do we feel as we shimmy?
Let me tell you. You could tell where we were. Yes. The scenery changed.
The Lyft driver said, "Oh, y'all going here?"
If it happens to be any Kansas City residents listening to the podcast, they crossed Troost. They had not been east of Troost on their visit, but they crossed Troost. And anyone
who was bit, Why did I have to tuck my chain?
I mean, we did cross Troost, and I know what that means now.
Wait, was that the same day we did go to Kansas proper? The other
day?
No,
that was the next day. I don't acknowledge that I went to Kansas. Thank you very much.
No, we went to Kansas that day.
So yeah, we went from going to another state, which there's a difference. But we
I've never been to Kansas. I ain't
gonna do that again. But then we went other side of tracks. Yeah, the Lyft driver was like, oh. I was like, yes, sir, we going. So, it was dope. So how do we feel?
About the clinic or about my safety?
Yeah. oh, my God.
I felt clinic. Okay.
It was fun. It was cool. It was nice.
I felt more safe in the clinic than I did in Kansas.
That is true. I felt safer at the clinic.
Well, I felt a lot safer. Well. Kansas was a wild ride. I never need to go again. I've never had that type of racism in a Best Buy, but
while a drug deal was happening, that too, while a drug deal happened in front of us,
Why were the Zesties at the front desk bonding at on IG? What's happening?
It was either a drug deal or something for later. Either way, it's not my business.
Yeah, it was
technically a lot. Both were for later. Both were for later.
Yeah, it's fine.
We had all kind of racism, and then we came. Yeah, we went to the hood. So yeah, it was cool. But yeah, I mean, I think it was adult clinic. It had to be inside because it was like 2 degrees.
It was not 2 degrees. It was 28 degrees Fahrenheit, which I understand is not conducive to having an outdoor soccer clinic as a general rule. But yeah, it was really cool. It was at the Thornberry Boys and Girls Club here in Kansas City. I thought, to me, what was most significant is that it was just the little girls at the Boys and Girls Club. Like, and then I think that you kind of like saw more like an easier way to for players and camp participants to clinic participants to bond, just because it was just the girls of the Boys and Girls Club. And yeah, it was great seeing all those players interact with the kids. They divvied them up by age group, and I think it was funny because like after the first they had like three rotations. After the first rotation, I think we all identified, oh, this is the chaos group, this is the one. Yes. I want to follow.
Mm-hmm. Yes. yeah
I think it was the middle eight.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Team Crash Out.
Team Crash Out. Yes. They were wild. They was like taking people out. They,
if
they
some soccer lit. Happened in between, fine.
Yeah. Fine. And then you had to keep your head on a swivel because people, you know, getting nutmeg.
Yeah,
I'm not gonna name the player that tried to nutmeg me. But yeah, it's literally, yeah. You know, it was dope.
Hey, Messiah.
And hopefully we got some good content. We got a lot.
Yeah, there are a lot.
Quality wise, they let me take pictures, so I'm sorry.
Exactly. They let me take. Yeah.
Word on the street, there were like 1,000 pictures or something like that. Like people was taking pictures.
She told me to keep shooting.
There were a lot of photos. I did finally get through them all because I had to sit through a 2-hour meeting. At work.
Sorry.
Allegedly.
Well, I mean, 2-1.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, it was cool. It was like different with the different players, all kind of players, whether Kansas City players to whoever. Most teams were represented.
Wasn't there? Was Louisville? I don't think Louisville.
Louisville was not there.
And obviously Orlando was not.
Yeah.
Or DC. They were busy.
Yeah.
Most other teams, I think.
Yeah, most of the teams were there.
Wait.
Yeah.
Maybe SD?
No.
SD in Portland didn't have anybody?
Correct.
No, Portland. Yeah.
Yeah, correct. Yeah.
SD, Portland, Louisville. No, everybody else, I think.
Everybody else was represented.
Oh, that's right.
Bay, because Kiki.
Mm-hmm.
Courage, because
Brianna Pinto.
And Bell.
And Bill,
Bell, LA, Seattle, Houston,
Kansas City,
KC, Gotham,
Utah, Spirit, because Debbie Vincent,
Utah,
Imani
Dorsey,
Imani
Dorsey,
Imani's been there,
Imani Dorsey,
oh damn, Imani wasn't over again.
And well, I think. Chicago was represented in the weekend, but I don't think Jamise got there in time.
Yeah, she'd get there in time.
Oh, gotcha.
Manny Freeman and showed up 40 minutes into it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
That was.
She said,
that was
I am here, though.
Yeah.
Like, I showed up.
Exactly. She did show up, and she had a blast. So, it was fun, though.
Yeah, so y'all will see content on the Instagrams and the Spotify's. You'll hear. Okay, kidding. You're going to see on Instagram. The other thing is... Ruby Jeans had little lunches. Ruby Jeans and another spot had some food after. So the little watermelon, some melon drink thing, that was kind of bomb. That they made. They did a special, the Black Women's Players Collective did a collaborative drink with Ruby Jeans. Mm-hmm. It was pretty dope.
Yeah, and so they were outside of the hotel we stayed at. Everything was Black owned. The Black Women's Players Collective worked with this. That championship weekend. So it was really cool, you know, living your mission and supporting, you know, local Black businesses, really important. So yeah, it was a really fun time. It's always kind of nice to, you know, be reminded of why you're you know, why we're doing what we're doing. And that was a great reminder. And kids are kids. Some of them weren't feeling it. They did it anyway, but some of them were not feeling it.
Yeah.
So you got the full range of emotions. So yeah, it was great.
Like my girl who went through the tunnel and got on her knees and pouted with her arms folded.
Not happy about it. She did it though. She did it.
She did it. She did it.
She had to be persuaded very much by D Scott. Actually, D Scott pushed her the whole way through the whole thing.
She did.
They didn't say how you had to do it. They said do it. And she was
correct.
Like, right, cool.
Correct.
There was some bribery for that who's your favorite player situation, though.
Yeah, it was a lot going on. I think Z won.
Barely.
Z did win.
Because Michelle.
Not just Z. Miss Z.
Miss Z. Yeah, Miss Z won.
Yes, Miss Z.
I know that's got to hurt, though. You like 23, and they calling you Miss Z.
Yeah. Somebody who's been in that situation, yeah. It's rough.
Mm-hmm.
It's rough. But I mean, she married lady. She old lady now.
I mean, well, she married now.
Wow.
She's gonna kill us. All right.
It's on to Friday.
She said, moving right on along.
And on to Friday. So some people went to a media day. I was with the BWPC and went to the diversity summit. But y'all gotta talk about this media day.
That was your fault.
No, actually, it was good.
Well, can you tell the people we went to Friday? Did you let them know?
We're on Friday. I just said moving along to Friday.
Oh, okay.
Well, we can start with the media day because actually there was some dope stuff in the diversity summit. But go ahead.
That was the same saw.
No, it was louder. Louder than that.
So what happened at this media day that's legendary?
So you guys, Jessica Berman gave her.
Why you turn your camera back off?
Because I have to be very serious and intentional because I want y'all to see my face when I say this. Jessica Berman gave her State of the League address.
Oh, okay.
And
oh dear.
Just one minor detail that I will say. NWSL allotted 50 minutes for this conference for her speech. She took up a whopping 35. You got to do that. Calling out my white brethren, if you decide to jump into women's sports, please know more about American women's sports than Caitlin Clark.
Wait, pause, flag. So, hold on. This was a part of the State of the Union?
State of the League.
The State of the League press conference. So, like, in context, it because the story had just dropped the day before that Cincinnati was one of the bids to get an NWSL team, and Caitlin Clark was part of the ownership group.
Okay. Yes, that is the context.
So, when all three of them just decided that they were going to ask Caitlin about Caitlin Clark in a league in which she does not participate as an athlete, to my right, I know y'all have seen that old Issa Rae tweet where it's, you know, with the little asterisks and like deep, heavy, Negro spiritual sigh. When I tell y'all that's what I heard to my right when this was the topic of conversation at this, it was inspiring in a way.
Is that what we're going to call it? Okay.
It was inspiring in that like it is a method of resistance to like, why are we talking about this shit that we don't need to be talking about? Which is exactly what happened. We were talking about shit we didn't need to talk about. I'm fairly certain that Jessica Berman heard. I hope personally that Jessica Berman heard that sigh, because as Sylves will say, this whole press conference could have been an email, with a 5-point plan, maybe an attachment even. I'll give it an attachment. Like an email with an attachment.
Yeah, it was, she went first too. Like we should, it was Berman and then DC and then Orlando, right? Like that was the order. So it's my first time at CPKC, which is quite a nice stadium. I didn't get to see everything. Like I didn't get to see the training. But yeah, we got there. You know, she sits down, gives her state of the league, you know, it's all the fun, fluffy, Philly numbers, because we don't talk about bad things anymore. And again, I get it with relevance in terms of Caitlin Clark had just, again, been announced as one of the ownership for the Cincinnati bid, and we were told that it's down to three teams, and we should know in the next few weeks. It's been a few weeks, by the way. But it's between Cleveland, Cincinnati, and Denver. And so that's fine. It's all very relevant. All of those questions came from people online. It didn't come from anyone in the room. And while I was annoyed with the questions, I was more annoyed with her response to it, which was to essentially point out all the good things that they think came with Caitlin Clark and her fans. And I believe the
Average, she's like, she has made fans of the average American.
I almost said a word.
No mention of all of the toxicity, the homophobia, the racism, and everything, the transphobia, all of the things that came along with that same fan base. She only highlighted what is perceived to be good. She basically did what Kathy did when she was confronted. Kathy Engelbert, commissioner of the W, when she was confronted with the same questions on a major network, which is essentially to say racism is not a deal breaker if it's making money. So that is why the sigh came from the ancestors. And it's funny because we were, what, three rows behind Andre?
Yep.
And he was like, I knew it was you. I knew it was you. I didn't have to look. And we had the child with us who could not join us today, obviously, under the weather, and also the busiest person I know. So this was also one of, you know, her first championship experience, and we wanted to give her, you know, as many opportunities to touch as many parts of the, you know, the game and the weekend as possible. So, you know, hey, she got an education. But yes, that was the first presser. It went under time, as Tom said. And then the Washington contingent came. So we got Tara and Ashley for DC.
Yes.
So they were the two player representatives. So both teams sent two player representatives and then the coach. So we got to do our first press conference with Jonah Geraldes. And I'm going to tell you all something. Tom asked some of the best damn questions of anybody in WSLB. Like he asked phenomenal questions. And so he asked Jonah a really good question that eventually got answered. I think it was a little bit lost in translation, but you know, just about his adjustment to the league and things of that nature. And then they switched out and we got Marta and Kaylee Strom. So we got to ask some really cool questions again, both Tom and myself. And then the recurring thing of theme of the weekend, we got Seb Hines, and really cool to see a man covering the sport and Tom be able to ask Seb Hines questions repeatedly through the weekend. So yeah, we got to do that.
Seb Hines might give some of the most thoughtful answers that I've, like, being in the position that he is. And maybe it is the fact that he is a former player, but he gives some of the most thoughtful answers I think I have ever heard, like, not just in a sports sense, like, because I get that my, like, time in this is nascent, right? But he gives some of the most thoughtful answers, like, of any person that I've ever asked a question to. And I know that I've asked, in all of my years of life, I've last asked several people several questions. And his are just like the most thoughtful and profound that I've ever seen in somebody that I didn't know. And it was just a pleasure to ask him those questions so that he could give the responses that he did.
Most definitely. I definitely agree with that. And then while we were pushing our way through, because we had to leave right after that for what we're going to talk about in just a moment. But Sky, you went to another function.
Yes. Yeah. So I went with Afia and Serena and other leadership of the Black Women's Players Collective to the DEI Summit. And so they had two panels, basically. And the first one was Dr. Andrea Johnson, who she is the, what's her position? I guess she's the Diversity and Human Resource Director for the league in WSL. She led a panel on the DEI cultivating inclusive sports culture. And so it had her, Dr. Tern Mullins, who is of the U.S. Soccer Federation, Dr. Chris Bussey, of the USL. He's dope. Chrissy Boosie. How did they spell this wrong? See, look, see, I knew that looked wrong. And Christine.
But it's B-U-S-E-Y, but it's Busey.
Busey, Christine Costano, and then the legendary Haley Carter. And so, yeah, they talked about, you know, what it's like doing DEI in the soccer space. So it was cool because you had two Black men who were given their perspectives as executives, whether it be on the federation side and in the league of different things. And then even hearing how Haley Carter, she broke down, basically it held people accountable as an ally of what you need to do and how she built what is the greatness that's in Orlando as a coaching staff and culture and everything, and how everybody is important, and put people to like charge and action. That actually was a really good panel. There was another panel, the inclusive investment in team and franchise ownership, that had Grant Hill, Lisa Leslie, Andrea Brimmer from Ally Financial, and it was moderated by Haley Rosen of Just Women Sports. And surprisingly, this was a really good panel because actually Grant and Lisa Leslie talked. I mean, it was cool because I got to meet Grant Hill and my favorite singer of all time, Tamia, and I didn't fangirl out. But it was cool hearing them talk about being inclusive and what it meant to be, you know, a part of ownership and what it looks like to actually be inclusive in the process. And like Grant was breaking it down. He was like giving scripture. So it was a pretty surprisingly really two dope panels. You know, we've roasted this multiple times. It was better this year, but yeah. But we can go to the next event. Because where do we go?
We went to 18th and Vine, which is the historically Black neighborhood of Kansas City. Black businesses were there in the 40s, then hell, in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, basically until integration. And that currently stands the Negro Leagues Baseball Museum. And in association with the Black Women's Players Collective and Athlete Ally, we were able to take a tour of the museum. And I have to say, like, that is one of my favorite places to take people in Kansas City. Like, I think it's the coolest place in the city. Like, just the amount of not just like history of the game of baseball, not just history of the Negro Leagues as themselves, but like in a lot of ways, it has a history of the city of Kansas City and the way that it was a honor to me that like I was able to kind of like be that translator into the history of the city as we were going through the museum. And Silves, I mean, you looked like a 5-year-old that had just been taken to Disney for the first time in their lives. Like, I knew you were so very happy.
I can be buried there. I'd be fine.
I mean, it is a really cool museum. It was my first time, obviously, in Kansas. Not obviously, it was my first time in Kansas City. First time at that museum. I'm a baseball fan, and to learn about a little bit more about my history with it, it was really, really cool. I gave three journalists two mics, and holy crap, there was like 40.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it was.
There's a new episode. There's an episode out of this that I gotta edit.
But it was cool to hear and read just all the knowledge coming from Silves, Tom, PJ. It was just so cool to get some of the smaller stories a little bit more in depth that you don't really get to hear, because it's just it feels like it's a small museum, but it's so jam packed with so much information. You could spend 5 hours there and still have like another 5 hours to go. It was just so cool to just learn from natives and PJ and Phils, but also people that are just passionate about Negro League. Mm-hmm. That's what my hat is. It's the Birmingham. Yes.
That's dope.
Black Barons. Yes. Love this hat so much. It had to replace the hat that I lost in the Uber, but you know, whatever.
We ain't gonna talk about that. We ain't gonna talk about that.
But yeah, it was so cool to, and also we had players with us from BWPC, so we kind of got to mingle and learn as they learned, and just to see them in that type of environment where they're seeing things that they wanted to see in their league, and they're just like, and to like hear them walking around and going like, oh, that's really cool. Like, why can't we have that in our, and I'm like, well, you can, it's your league.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that you can do. And you should be empowered to be able to stand up and say, I want that in my league. Cause they were looking at like the baseball cards. Like, that's so cool. And I'm like, well, you have Parkside, but I get the need of wanting something truly genuine to Black culture with your own Black cards, you know? So it was just really cool to see them walking around like, oh, I experienced something like that, which is sad, but also like, you know, the barbershop scene that was in there and all that. It was really cool to just be in that space as they realize that a lot of these leagues are kind of the same.
Right.
You don't get the respect you deserve, but you know you can make a difference, but you don't know how. And you've seen iterations of this league come and go. But it was still very, very cool to just, you know, experience it as an individual baseball fan, as a content person, and as just like a fan of those players who want something better for their league.
Yeah, because I got to talk to Chris through the whole thing. Again, he is an executive with the USL. And so it was here to hear his perspective. And then even because I had asked a question in regards to comparing, you know, back to with soccer and baseball, and that led to a whole deep conversation. I also had a deep conversation with AT, who is a part of Athlete Ally. We talked about stuff that crossed into the WNBA, actually. And they are from San Diego. And as a Japanese-American transgender person, it was cool to hear their perspective, but also learning in the process. So it was a lot of different people, because beyond Black Women's Players Collective, also NWSLPA, Athlete Ally, and all kinds of people from the league and so forth, too, that came into this event. And again, you will see the video. Yes.
Oh, shout out to Meg Burke. Wearing the Kurt Flood jersey to the museum.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I knew that she was a real one based off of the first time that I met her and what I said about when I told her the average American line, her reaction was exactly what I thought it would be. And I was like, thank you, white woman, for upholding my expectations of you in a positive way. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, Megan Burke is absolutely the real deal. So like I said, yeah, shout out to her for real. I won't say much because I talked way, way, way too much on the mic, like a lot. Ebony told me to stop talking at some point.
I didn't. I said, you can keep talking because Sky's got to edit the audio. So
okay, that's what it was. They did have a room or a section that was dedicated to Black journalism and Black journalists that covered the league.
Yeah.
And, you know, pointing out that when baseball was integrated with Jackie Robinson, those same people couldn't cover him.
Because they couldn't get in the press box.
Yep. We couldn't get in the press box. And so when integration happened, it wasn't for everybody right away.
It was, and it was like kind of surreal in a way, like sharing that moment with the two of you, with PJ in the room, with Tamara in the room, like
Caldre was there, like all of us were there.
Yeah. Yeah, like in that room, like that was like kind of surreal, like in a way. And it's like, this is really cool. And like, and just like Ebony was saying, like you saw the players, like I experienced this in my league, like kind of got that same sense. Oh, in a way, we've experienced this in our league that we cover.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Everything old is new again, right? Not a whole
Jinko
lot.
Jinko jeans and racism. Bet, baby.
Right. Like, it never really goes away. And so I think that was the common theme, right? We were able to talk about how these same things present themselves today. And so that's what a lot of the content will be around. And it's just a really cool museum. Like, when you walk in, you can see the pitch. A pitch, Lord, wrong sport. You can see the field. But you got to go through the museum to get to the field. And then, I'm sorry, what is the name of the president who is one of the coolest people ever?
Bob Kendrick.
Bob Kendrick. So we got to meet Bob Kendrick. And I don't know if I've ever met a person more suited for what they do than that man. Like, he is just, there's a level of knowledge with him that I don't know if many people possess about anything. And he loves that museum so very much. He's been there for a very long time.
It's a touring museum, by the way.
Yeah, yeah.
They had one in North Carolina, and I didn't know about it at all.
I didn't know that. That's so, they do so much good work.
Also, I'm mad at him.
Okay.
Do you know why? That jacket was too fire, and I almost left with it. And
yeah.
I was a good noodle, and I didn't buy it.
I needed that. I have my issues with the Mahomey, but that jersey, that Kansas City Monarchs Adidas collab that he did, God, I needed it. I'm poor, but if I wasn't,
I did not even lift my head up when I walked. Like, you have to go. Like, it's a business, just like any other business. So like, they're gonna sell what they can sell. So like, they're gonna show you through.
Yeah, but I thought it was fine.
Like, yes. And like all of this, like that museum, you have to go through the shop to like leave, and everything in there is just so sharp. I didn't even like pick my head up. Like, I just went through the gift shop and like, bye.
Man, I was, so I got this hat because me and Andre were looking, we were both looking at it, and I picked it up first.
Your hat people, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I picked it up, and it's the Birmingham Black Barons hat.
Nice.
And the great Sarah Toussaint kept looking at me and going, I mean, the jacket looks great with the hat. And I'm like, why are you doing this to me?
That's what rich people tell you. See, I don't like that.
And then there was a lady that was just like, she was on the tour with us because she was a part of Friends with BWPC. And she was just like, you know, why wouldn't you get the hat? I'm like, what is happening? Wow. Why am I getting the pressure from all around me? And I almost left with that jacket. And I keep going onto the website to be like, do I?
Yeah. I was asked what I wanted for Christmas, and I might just slide that link over.
Just the smooth, like, quick link. That's all. I don't know. Yeah. I still want it. I think I might just go ahead and get it. But
I'll say this, maybe Santa, I would say this,
a little treat.
You never know. Yeah. Santa might say, don't do that.
Okay.
Santa,
just say that.
Santa didn't pay my credit card bill.
So. One more goddamn time. Santa said, don't do that. Thank you.
Okay.
There we go.
Why? She is. It's aggressive.
There we go.
Hollering on that mic.
All of that to say, I would have gladly stayed forever if we could have. But they do close.
Yes.
Also, fun fact, I didn't know until we walked in, the Kansas City Jazz Museum shares a building.
I heard it wasn't good.
Is it not?
Yeah. So we met, before the tour started, I ran into some Cloud9 peeps, and I asked her about it. Jen, forever, the homie, she was like, it's not that good. Not what you're going to, like, once you experience the baseball museum, the jazz.
Go to the jazz museum first.
Yes. Okay.
So right. Now that we've done that one, you can't go back.
And if you know anything about jazz, Kansas City is home to Charlie Parker, the Bird. So right. There is a rich history of jazz in Kansas City. But yeah, they are both in the same complex. So if nothing else, that's a pretty cool thing. There's a lot of really rich Black history in Kansas City. It's one of the pillars of Black history in America in terms of cities. So yeah, it was, like I said, could have stayed forever if we were allowed. But we had to go to
Freeze.
Bless them. At the skills challenge.
God bless y'all for doing that.
Yeah, you picked a good one to miss, my friend. Like, you picked a good one to miss.
We became ice cubes.
It was so damn cold.
We became ice cubes and went to the training facility that is in faraway land.
It's not close.
And by the way, as they were shooting the skill challenge, they didn't tell us that they had commentators recording. So we heard Sam Uys, who was the moderator of the skills challenge, but we didn't hear the commentators. So we had commercial breaks in the freezing cold because it was like cold, but then it kept dropping. The temperature was dropping. But yeah.
I just want everybody to know that commercial breaks make no sense when you're editing it.
Right.
So the reason they had a commercial break is because they actually had commentators commentating. So they were doing
it. But it wasn't live.
Yeah, I know that. But yeah, they shouldn't have done that. They should have just did the commentating, said, boop, we're going to insert commercials. But they basically were live recording. I don't know how it was set up. It wasn't logical. It was really cold. So it went longer than it should have. And then, like, for example, Michelle Alozier had scored 10 goals in one of the little gauntlet competitions, and they had to reshoot it.
Yeah.
Because the camera didn't capture it.
Bro, what?
Yeah,
I'd have been livid.
Oh no!
Wait, so if you saw it live, you probably was four. She scored 10, and then they said they didn't record it and they had to re-record it. And we was all like, "Bruh, it is cold. What you doing?" And yeah. Fortunately, they still won. Her team still won. Yeah. But yeah, that would have been a big deal. I mean, that's 6 goals.
I, for one, am happy that Michelle Alozier. Lifelong Michelle Alozier fan over here.
Are you really? Are you really? Okay.
I truly am. I'm so happy that she won and she scored and that her team got it done extra quick and early. Okay. I'm so happy. And
she was
I'm so happy.
She was so happy that she let you know they won this year, which is important. Ebony and Michelle go back a little bit. All of.
I mean, she might have caused her.
By the way, Michelle,
that's old news.
She won this year. She won this year. She got a nice little piece of change. So good for her.
We are celebrating the wins, okay?
Yeah. But no, seriously, like when we talk about star power in the league and like people you should be putting front and center, that's one of them. Like just absolutely gets it in every way.
Absolutely.
And oh, by the way, this is her like side gig.
Yes. That lady is a scientist. It's like she ain't trying to mess with y'all.
Right.
She said she needs the $5,000 a new Birkin. That's all she here for.
Right. She's gonna make real money. So like, so it was really cool. There was the blue team and the black team. And we're not spoiling anything now. The black team won. Sam Yu is doing the commentating, but also live. But also being completely biased because Lynn Williams was on the black team.
Yeah.
I actually appreciated that. I was like, don't even lie. Like,
but on the flip side, the refs
get it out of the way.
Well, but the refs were trying to throw it for the blue team because the blue team had Kansas City players on it. And it was Sam was like, are you trying to throw the game? And then, and then counting goals, like, I need to watch what it looked like edited. There was no counting. We were making goal post was moving. We had new ways. You had instructions on the screen, but that didn't happen in reality. We wasn't counting goals. It was a lot. It was cool though. I think the gauntlet was my favorite though. That gauntlet situation, that was fun.
Yeah. I think there's work to be done is what I think.
They've stepped up. It's recorded now.
Yeah, it is. You know,
it was better than last year.
Slowly but surely, by year like 7, I think they got it.
They said
y'all complained that y'all didn't record the skills challenge. Now we're really gonna record it, but damn it, we're gonna put fucking commercials in it, and y'all gonna suffer through it.
I don't understand taking a break and play for something that is recorded when you're going to add commercial breaks in afterward? Were you recording it live?
Yeah. They were doing commentating.
Commercials?
Yeah.
And then editing it again to add in more commercials?
That doesn't make sense, but yes, that's what it seemed like.
That's a choice they made, and media could not give any results or really film anything live because it wasn't airing until after the championship game on Sunday on Paramount Plus. So I don't know what the crowd did because they weren't under that same obligation, but yeah.
That was my question. I'm like, you put media under this embargo, but there's still live people out here tweeting about this fucking game. Fans are here.
I mean, but fans might have left, though, because it was like everybody was ice cubes.
There were still a lot of fans because they wanted autographs.
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, that's true.
Lynn and a few other stayed to sign every autograph, basically. Yeah,
Tell you about something about Kansas City. They will stand out in any kind of weather to, like, get an autograph.
Well, they showed it.
Yeah, y'all are devoted.
They were shaking and giving autographs.
But I was freezing doing interviews. Yeah. But we got it done. We got some interviews.
With Sarah Gordon, Michelle Lozier, who let Ebony know.
Jamise Joseph.
Yeah.
Wolfpack. I knew you were gonna die. I knew it.
Yeah, she definitely did the Wolfpack. She did it.
Right? Yeah, she did. And she did it back because that's what they do. I get it. So that happened. And then we had to leave again because we went to the other fun event. Which was the VWPC dinner back at our hotel. So that was actually very convenient. We were at the hotel with all the VWPC players and away from all the chaos, which is really nice.
Y'all was it was like y'all had a black slumber party.
We really did. So we got nice meals. We got some free drinks. What was your favorite drink?
I
can't remember. I like the apple one.
The cider situation.
Yeah.
That one was good.
The ginger beer one. Yeah, that one. Was it a championship?
Maybe that was the championship. Yeah. Yeah. They fed us well. And, you know, we got to
mingle. It was definitely the shots.
Oh, see. Yeah. And by shots, you mean like three in one glass.
Yeah, those were three shots.
She was very nice to me. And gave me two. So I, because it was the end of the night, I'm like, I don't have cash. Can I tip you? I was like, what's your Venmo? So I walk up, I Venmo her, and because she was pouring all my shots, I was like, let me get your Venmo. So she gives it to me. I tip her. And then I forgot that Diana was coming in. And I was like, well, she's not going to fucking drink this. So I asked her for two shots of the Makers. So she pours the two shots in one glass. I'm like, girl, this is a quad. But I also needed two shots in two glasses. And she was like, oh. So then she did it again. I was like, you could have just made that like a single, your single double. You could have made that one. So
there was a lot of shots being handed out.
But how did it get to like seven shots, 18 shots?
Because Alex ordered wrong.
Oh, it's Alex's fault. Okay.
Alex ordered wrong. Alex, my wonderful assistant for the whole weekend, she walked up. I just did a shot with someone else. And she walks, and I was ordering my other shot, like my other drinks and shots, because they're getting ready to do last call. And she walks up and she orders too many, she orders the opposite. Like whatever the opposite was for like vodka and tequila, she orders the opposite. So then she had to pour all a new round of the correct order, and that's how you ended up with like six vodka shots on the table that only two people had asked for.
So you pass it off as a celebration? So you acted like it was a celebration for Michelle too, an apology.
Yeah, like it was just you did give her a peace offering shot. I don't know if that's a peace offering.
She gladly took it. I'll say that.
Listen, those players, athletes can hold their liquor. That's all I'm gonna say. But we had a lot of fun. There was impromptu karaoke,
surprise appearances.
Who's the DJ?
Oh, DJ Dupe. DJ Dupe. DJ Dupe actually is one of the in-stadium DJs at CPKC. She did not necessarily work the final. However, because she was not working the final, she was able to do all the stuff with the Black Women's Players Collective, which was hella dope.
And she was dropping them hits. And so we did every line dance under the sun. Whoa, we did every line dance under the freaking sun. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, because once the Tamia one came up, I was like, let me sit my ass right on.
We did kind of learn, and then I did the little whatever. Word to Messiah and Croy. Yeah, word to Messiah and Croy, because they also did karaoke. And can sing and was lit.
Yeah, Croy can also sing because
exactly.
What's it like to be God's favorite?
Yeah,
Amen. Right. Because I'm like, we out here still. We not losing all the recipes.
Between her and Messiah and Kiki, like the young ones.
Yeah,
they was lit.
Some recipes are not being. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So if you see videos, from that night, go ahead.
Their face, I told Croy and Messiah that like I would watch any content that they made, like Instagram reels, TikTok videos, that buddy comedy. I need it. Give it to me, please.
There will be no sharing of those videos, by the way.
Oh no, they're out there. No, there are videos. No. Yes, there are videos. There are videos of them. There are videos. I don't know if y'all saw them from the night when they was karaoke. They was lit.
Their own show and watch it.
Yeah, that was 1,000%.
It won't be shared from us, at least I will say.
But
for the sake of being that safe space, we won't be sharing them. But if they're on the BWPC,
they already shared them. Yeah, they shared them. They shared them already. Yeah, they shared them. Yeah. They shared those videos.
I'm happy for them, but I'm not doing it.
Yeah. I absolutely respect that. And yeah, it was a safe space and just a really good time and being in community with each other. And Athlete Ally was also there. Like I said, we met them for the first time this weekend and they were really dope to work with as well. But yeah, like I said, food was pretty good. Like it was a good night. It was a good way to end the evening and we didn't have to walk outside the building. We could just go to bed. So that was helpful when we had to get up the next day. Some people went out. I think I did briefly met with some Spirit fans, some Orlando fans, night before, just getting the feel about nerves and everything else for the game. So got to see a little bit of Kansas City at night on Friday. I came home and crashed. So we had to get up and do things the next day. So yeah, that was Friday.
So then Saturday, what happened?
Wow, not you with the.
You she invented Friday.
She invented Friday?
Okay. Yeah, so Saturday, game day, locked in. We were not all together again. This is where it'd be really cool to have Anissa. But before Sky and I go, Ebony, do you just want to talk a bit about what really cool opportunities Anissa got on Saturday?
Yeah. So at Media Day on Thursday, Marin from Google Pixel walked up to us, big fan of the show. So shout out Marin. I know you're gonna be listening to this. And she was just like, I love the work y'all do. We have this activation happening at FanFest. We want you guys to roll through. And I was like, absolutely, we'll be there. And then I got a call from her that morning on Saturday. And she was just like, we have this really cool thing happening. Megan Rapinoe is going to be here. And if you can get there, be one of the first ones there, we'll throw you into the room with her and you guys can do an interview. I'm like, bet, sold. Whatever we had planned for the day, I don't give a damn what it was.
Right.
I'm there. Whatever you need, we're there. We got you. So I got to do a really cool reveal with Anissa and her mom down in the lobby. It changed our plans quite a bit while Sky and Sils went to an event with Athlete Ally, which they're going to talk to you about. It would have been cool to be there, but this opportunity for Anissa kind of trumped everything for me. And she was there with Perfect Soccer, who graciously sponsored her to come out for the weekend. So I wanted to make sure that she could get all the content she could. And that Megan Rapinoe interview was going to be something, you know, big for her. Took her down to the lobby, gave her a new rundown of the day, because I had sent her an initial one. And, you know, as that weekend had already told us that things just don't go like they should, especially with this league and time. They run on CPT better than the CPs, okay?
What?
It's the truth.
Not wrong. Yeah, okay.
So I got a really cool reaction of her getting to interview, getting the news that we were going to interview Megan. And then we get there, again, meet up with Maren, who's like, she was really, really helpful all weekend. So she got us in the room. Anissa got to ask some very good questions. It was also a surprise that Gisele Thompson was there. Mm-hmm. So to see the 16-year-old ask the 17-year-old some questions just felt like a surreal moment, especially as like I've watched her grow in this space like all year. So she was very nervous, but she got the hang of it. Once she got that first question out, it was just like, I'm like, you just jump in and you command the space that you're in and you take your control. It was a very intimate like setting. For one, the room was small, so there was only like 4 or 5 reporters in there anyway, so they all got to ask 2 questions, and she asked some really, really good ones, especially to Gisele. I can't wait for that question. I can't wait for that to come out. That should all be coming out here in like the next couple of days. So it was really, really cool, and I'm glad she got that opportunity. And then she got to talk with Maren afterwards just about, you know, being young in this space and, you know, what she wants to do, where she, like, you know, gets all the normal, you're a junior in high school questions. So what you're looking at for college, blah, blah, blah. So yeah, it was a really cool experience for both of us. Just as me being able to see her grow and for her to interview Megan Rapinoe.
Right. And I think that's so cool, right? Because that's part of why we have been working with Anissa, is to give her those opportunities. And I can tell you, somebody who's covered Seattle and who's interviewed Megan Rapinoe before is probably no better player for you to do sort of your first major interview with, because she's always going to give you something, right? And she's going to be super supportive. So, and then to have like your age mate basically, you know, be there as well and being able to talk to her, right? Like, that's just a really cool experience for her. And I was so really, so very excited that she ended up being the one getting that opportunity. And like you said, just again, shout out to Maren, yeah, who walked in the media day. She's like, wait, do you all know Shea Butter? I was like, I mean, I'm one of Shea Butter, which I mean means we probably have to be on video more. I get that. okay. I got that a lot. Like, we got a lot of love, but also like, I mean, we are Sky and Sil, so yeah. But yeah, I just really looked out all weekend and really is genuinely a fan and a listener of the show. And we deeply appreciate her and see what she's doing over at Google Pixel as well, doing some damn good work. So shout out to you, Maren. And yeah, hopefully we can work together again at some point. But I wanted to make sure you get to talk about that.
I was going to say also, Anissa, it was cool as I walked up to the fan fest after the event we will talk about in a second. And Anissa was out there interviewing everybody. It was like, mm-hmm. had rolled up. It was like, hey, fan. I was like, okay, let's go. Like, we have a whole blown full interview.
And she had the paint hoodie. So like, you can't miss this, her.
Yeah.
It was full circle. But like, it was just really cool to see her come out of her shell a little bit more.
In a day. You saw it in a day. Like, she was so nervous at like the press conference, but like, at FanFest, like, she was like, it was like you could tell that she had just interviewed Megan Rapinoe, because she like walked into FanFest with that level of confidence, right? Like, almost, and it's like crushed it. It was great.
I was like, what's going on? Like, this, I didn't see this Anissa this morning. I was like, what's going on? It was lit.
It was really cool. And like, she's like, no other kid can say they had the 2024 that she had. And so like, she was doing a bunch of work for Perfect Soccer, so she was asking fans this question and like just trying to get a little bit more comfortable. So it was really, really, really cool just to see her grow. Like you said, it was like a day. But to have the experience of a full major tournament, two, because you did TST and you did She Believes. You've now gone to, you've covered a whole team for a whole year. You've covered a final,
mm-hmm.
and just all the things in between. You've met some really cool people that can like help you get far, and you've done it in like a way that a lot of these people that call themselves professionals haven't done.
Mm-hmm.
So like, it was
well, I know, right?
You got to be twice as good to get half of what they got, and she did it, and she's. She's truly growing, and it's been really cool to see. So she's not on the pod today. She was sick. And I know her mom's about to start crying when she hears this. But, oh, God, yes. But I wanted to make sure that we had this segment to, like, truly up the young ones that are, like, going to take over this world. Because
she's running this.
The work that Anissa did and the work that Nubia has done and – you know, Maya, still so young. But killing it in this game. And just like all of the ones that really came together to make this year like huge for themselves and for Black coverage.
Mm-hmm.
It's wild. And it's actually beautiful. So I'm after that weekend, my heart was full.
But we weren't finished with the weekend. So
I know we weren't finished.
We're not finished. And I just want to point out, this is proof. Like, listen, we probably spend more than we make to cover the sport, but don't tell me it can't be done. We're doing it.
More time.
We're doing it. We've made it happen. We've given opportunities because it's not a lack of talent. It's a lack of access. I think some people and some companies with more money and more opportunities could be giving these same young people opportunities is all I'm saying. I just wanted to point that out. But yeah.
We're gonna take a break because we're gonna take a second quick break, and then we gonna come back to the second part of Saturday. And we're back. All right. So then what are we talking about? What else happened this Saturday?
So while they were, you know, Anissa was out here being the best reporter ever, Sky and I went to an event for Athlete Ally. It's a brain trust, essentially. So different players in the room and just talking about the ways we can support people doing different work in the game, how we can be supportive, particularly of LGBT plus people, particularly our trans siblings at this time. And with, you know, the recent election results in this country, really just bringing together some major players, some not so major players in one room to have conversations around what that can look like and being honest about what the needs are to continue to do this work and to protect people and to amplify people who otherwise are not. We were for the most part in different circles until toward the end. We were in the same sort of media.
Let's take a step back. So it wasn't just athletes. It was like people who are like executives for different companies, people in league, people of nonprofits, media, content creators, whether they actually do soccer or not, you name it. And then it also, because Athlete Ally crosses into basketball, you also have people out from basketball cross into this too. So we all got broken up into different groups, and we were in the content creator group. We talked about like, what are the barriers to access? And then what does it look like collaborating going forward? To help protect, you know, communities, and like, you know, how do we go forward, particularly when all hell breaks loose, January 20th, like, you know, how do we go forward and protect communities, but How do we evolve to and work together to build communities, coalitions, and so forth?
And what are the actionable items that we can do? We talk a lot about the work, but work without deeds is fruitless, right? So what are sort of those next steps? What are the actual actionable items that can happen, and how quickly they can happen or how not quickly they can happen? We learned more about some of what Athlete LA does. Like, they are tied a lot to universities, so they have a lot of university chapters. They're athlete-led. They have a summit every year. Like, they do really good work. A lot of that's funded by Adidas. Same with Black Women's Players Collective. Like, they have the whole, for lack of a better word, community philanthropic arm that does some of this work. And how that goes well, what can be done better. We all had to answer a couple of questions on note cards and share, and, you know, people were allowed to be really vulnerable. Obviously, we saw some people that we knew. Shout out to Gal Pals. Like, we saw each other all weekend, basically. But those are the homies, like, just really solid humans. And shout out to Leslie for her questions to Commissioner Berman.
Stay it on her.
On Friday. Stayed on that ass about San Diego. Like, that's the homie right there. So yeah, asking when you're nervous is even more courageous, in my opinion. So I'm really proud of her for that. And I was able to tell her that. So I'm really glad. But coming back to Saturday, it's overall a good event. Shout out to Imani Dorsey, who's been like an Athlete Ally ambassador for several years. There's a lot of really good work with them as well. She's just real busy. but she's constantly doing the work. And so shout out to her. We saw Gabby as well, who's, I think, working with DC, does commentary now, you know, former player. We saw some really cool shout out to Megan Burke. Obviously, again, saw her a lot this weekend as well. And just, you know, other people in the space that you all might know. I think there's some content from there, obviously. But just one of those really good moments, and hopefully things we can follow up on, items that we can follow up on. And to Athlete Ally's credit, they have already reached back out. So, just a really a new organization. Like, I've known of them, but had never worked with them. And so being able to work with them during championship weekend was eye-opening. And we hung out a lot because we hung out at FanFest as well. And just really had some good conversations and some action plans and things that we can get done. So that's where we were, because Ebony said we had to go do that. So, yes.
I want you
when Ebony says do something, we just said yes.
I was done.
Yeah, I do what I'm told. So that's what we did, and then got changed. and headed over to FanFest, which was good. It's probably the best one I've been to. We can talk. Y'all can talk about it.
It's better than last year. I still think DC was better.
Yes.
Because it wasn't a career fair. I didn't have career fair energy. I didn't feel like I needed to give a presentation. To go try to saw to some
I didn't need to okay, get my BC to my BC sales. I didn't have to do that.
I didn't have to give a resume to get an autograph or get food. Like, it felt like a fan fest.
It was disorganized.
They tried to
like
cram a lot of shows in. Yeah.
Yeah.
The live show thing.
Nice way to put that.
They tried to cram a lot in there. I was there for Tori Kelly, and that took too long for me to get started. We got to talk to a lot of people. We all had our Shea Butter gear on, except for Tom, who had the fit. Obviously, you know, expectations are high at this point.
Oh yeah. I talked to quite a few people. There were quite a few fans. So you'll hear interviews from Jordan. You'll hear Andre break the audio on a mic.
Right. I was like, does it work after?
When he did what he did, and it will make sense when you hear an interview. God. We had the Pandulce twins do a full blown interview.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Word to Diana and Alex. And it was funny because, like, they did it at the same time. You'll hear the interview. It'll make sense. Gal Pal, sports.
Like 15% racism, right?
No, they, like, they was lit. They called themselves the Pandulce Twins. I was like, yo, okay. It was lit. Had other fans. We had fit checks.
I don't think those two should hang out together.
It was lit. No, actually, that was it was a really dope interview about from a Latino perspective. It was really dope.
Honestly, it was a really good interview. It but was. Them they're two just together is just
oh my god,
it's wild and it's just hilarious.
I learned so much this weekend.
I was like, yeah, we was lit. Y'all might be glad I'd have my little playlist up. We would have been. It would have been off the rails.
I appreciate that.
Oh god.
Cool moment. We got to talk to Tamara for a little bit before the game, and she was rocking her Negro League jersey as well that she had gotten. So you were not the only one who got by the Negro League store.
Man, them jerseys are fire.
I'm gonna tell you how she got that jersey. We walked in, I put the jacket on, I took it off. She was like, sometimes you just got to see how it looks on you. You know, you don't got to buy it, but you just got to see how it looks on you. And I'm like, okay, so what size are you getting? And she was like, I'm not getting it. I just want to see what it looks like on me. And then she walked out with the bag, and I'm like, what you got in there? that's how I was like, oh, she got God.
Yeah, she got God.
Touched it. She touched it. She's like, I just like how it feels. Let me see how it feels in my body. I'm like,
that's such a Tamara response to that too. Like, so yeah, but she was rocking that. We got to have a really good conversation with her and Jordan from Athlete Ally. And the whole time I'm trying not to freak out because Grant Hill's doing an interview behind us. He's so tall.
He's God.
He's so Andre tall. Height.
Very tall.
I know. NBA players are tall, but he's so tall. And to me, it is so not. Like, so short. So I'm trying. Also, like Sky, the day before, I'm trying not to freak out because
So that's the thing. I freaked out. I low key. It was a mild freak out with Grant because he was like, "I'm Grant." I was like, "I know who you."
Grant Hill.
But with Tamia, I actually was chill. I was scared I was gonna have a fall pass out, but she was so hype about soccer. I was like, "Yo, you got soccer? You got that soccer life,
girl? If you don't rein in, you're gay."
It wasn't even right in the game.
To be fair, you know, for those who might not know, Grant Hill and Tamia are both investors in Orlando. Both Orlando City and Orlando Pride, I believe. And their youngest daughter is a soccer player. So Lyle is going to University of Florida, actually, to play starting next year. And that's Tamia's twin. The oldest one is Grant's twin. So they were kind of hanging around, and like, I think we were one of the few black media there, obviously. And so just kept kind of looking at the black media that was all circled around each other at Fan Fest, which was nice. Like, I don't think they were used to seeing it, but like in a good way. Yeah. We're kind of like, okay, let's see what these people with their very bright hoodies on are doing. I think I had teal. There was pink. Did you wear yellow?
I had my yellow.
You had on yellow. We were very noticeable.
Yeah, the man in a suit with people like in very bright colored hoodies like tends to stick out in a crowd.
Excuse you. A man in a suit that is royalty at CPKC Stadium.
Right.
Everybody knows Tom.
Right.
Like, shut up. I was second best at on that night is what I'm saying to you.
First of all, I want to shout out Jeff Houston, executive comms director for the current. Because CPKC Stadium was the host, like he did a lot of the logistical stuff and for the all the press stuff. And I think just because one of the reasons like we were able to like there was a lot of press, like CPKC's press box is not large. And it was not particularly warm that night of the match. One of the reasons why Silves and I got to sit inside, like in the actual press box, as opposed to the makeshift extended press box that they made out of the upper deck, is just because like I've been able to like continue going there on behalf of Shea Butter FC, and I'm so very grateful for that opportunity. And it goes to show like when you build good relationships, like you know. Those do not go unrewarded. So,
and Tom has been a stalwart covering Kansas City Current, both for league games, the Women's Cup, and the Summer Cup.
All the cups.
Like, he's been there for all of it. And, like, you effing earn. I'm trying not to cuss, even though the child's not here. You earn that, Tom. Like, that isn't without all of your hard work. And I know I told you this when we were together, but, like, you've held it down. You have absolutely represented Shea Butter beyond anything we could have imagined when you started covering Kansas City this year. And so, like, all the praise they were giving you, you earned. And you earned us that spot in the press box. I'm sure to varying degree that went over well.
That was a very, very nice.
I don't give a damn.
Very, very.
We bust our ass. Enjoy it. You know what I mean?
That's a very, very nice press box. It's probably the best press box I've seen.
They do have the heat blowing down on you, though. That is the nice part.
And the food's bomb.
I told you. The food is good. Me and PJ told you. It's like they don't mess around. Josh does not mess around in that kitchen.
We met the person who runs the kitchen. Yeah, like they're on it. Also, yeah, shout out to meeting PJ in person. Oh man.
That's
word, PJ. What's up, my bro? I almost said something crazy. What's up, my homie? What's up, my Savannah man fam?
Oh my god.
That was
he was she my said Uber.
She almost pulled Najee Harris.
Yeah, I almost pulled a Najee Harris. I didn't do it though.
You did.
We did. Almost did it. But yeah, he was like my Uber. He was my Lyft. And we was riding out with Kendrick.
Jesus Christ!
Right. Me and PJ got in the ride. Yeah.
Like that was the other thing about the Jessica Berman press conference. Like 5 minutes before, like everybody is like. Oh, hey, that new Kendrick drop.
I literally said, Jessica Berman, hurry up. Kendrick just dropped an album. I was like, you're taking up my time right now. Like, that's important. But yeah, so we started to make our way inside after we saw a few Tori Kelly songs. Phenomenal live, by the way. We love you.
Amazing.
Phenomenal. If you listen to this randomly, amazing. Probably cuss way too much for you.
Phenomenal.
Ever need someone to hold your towel? I am here for you.
Wow.
I'm kind of glad the
on stage.
Okay.
Right out of the gutter.
Okay.
Wow. And I appreciate the vocals.
Yeah.
The vocals were vocaling.
It's as good live as it is on a record. Yeah. That's a true sign.
The duality of Melissa Etheridge and Tori Kelly.
Okay, but Melissa Etheridge did hit all the notes.
She did.
Which is the anthem.
She did
do that. And they also did the Black National Anthem first.
Yes, they did.
The local art. Local
they Black had a shit at the watch party. We were like, oh.
Yeah. So she was a Black country artist from Kansas City. What's her name?
Oh, God.
See.
We're awful.
Yeah.
We will find it and put it out in the show notes. But it was really cool, and a lot of people stood for that one. That's the only one I stood for. And it's a far more telling story of America, but neither here nor there. So that, yeah, we, you know, pregame, everything gets done. And then also at FanFest, Temwa was there with her MVP award and her golden boot. That had been awarded before the game. And then the lineups are announced. Etheridge sings the national anthem. And, players come out and the game commences. We don't have to give you a lot of blow-by-blow.
I was going to say, at the same time, I went to the BWPC watch party.
Oh, yeah.
And so there were players. Because initially, because it's only 11,000 people, like, they didn't have seats. But then they did have seats because Kansas City did not make the playoffs, so it got real interesting.
They made the final, but yeah.
Yeah, but you know.
There were a lot of people in the city who had bought tickets to the championship with the expectation that the Current would be in the final.
So yeah, it was a different experience. Yes. But there was a watch party, and so there was like food trucks. It was interesting actually watching players watch the game, and I think we were there the first half at the watch party, then we came to the stadium. But it was interesting watching players watch the game and their analysis of the game. And then when Barbara Banda scored, how they were breaking down the game. And that was really wow. And so, yeah. That was because like we were all shook too with the Black National Anthem being sung. We were like, oh.
It was unexpected.
Yeah.
It was unexpected in a good way.
Yeah.
So yeah, game happens. It's 1-0 in the end. So really kind of a tense game. But a good one, and probably the two best teams. Like it felt very fitting.
It was a good championship game.
Yes.
Yeah, it was a good championship game. So obviously, as everybody knows, Orlando's victorious. And we get to go on the pitch, which is really awesome. And so we got to capture a lot of like the raw emotion, particularly from the Black players of Orlando. They're obviously very Black coaching staff. We got to talk to like Coach Thomas. I think we got to talk to Ali Watt with the Asia Wilson leg sleeve, you know, crying, but her lashes stayed on. Listen.
Yeah. The lashes stayed on. Is this true?
We got to talk to friend of the pod, Simone Charlie, and I think a couple other players, but it was just really cool to be able to capture that on the pitch. Right. We didn't necessarily, Tom, you went to the mix zone, correct?
I did go to the mix zone and, it's funny, like how like knowing you, Silves, as like I also asked Ali Watt in the mix zone about the Asia Wilson leg sleeve, and she was like, "You were the second person to say something about that about me." So, and I actually have some audio of that, so I'll make sure Ebony gets that. But so, yeah, the
audio is Sky.
I knew you was going to do that.
K-Y, capital E. That's her. So all that.
Okay.
I just want to make sure that was known.
Well, don't do that. It's gonna be an Ebony and Sky content edited experience. Don't do that.
Okay.
Well, but in the mix zone, I did actually get to ask Trinity Rodman what she thought about the refereeing, and there was this moment in her body that like she's like, I am very tired, and I have been holding all of this in. And I asked her what she thought about the refereeing, and she said, I would say no comment, but, and you kind of like saw it like come out of her body, like, you know what, F it, I got the money for the fine. But it just seemed like they were more receptive to listening to the other team's players than they were to listening to us.
Adidas was there. They could cut that check for her right there. Okay, you can cut that check for her. She got it. So yeah, and then forever later, we finally got to the press conferences. We were at that stadium a long time, Tom.
Yeah, like it took a good hour after the match.
Yeah, because
like,
they let the whole team go celebrate, and then they ran over to the fans. You'll see video of that too, where like the fans of Orlando that came, they were like lit, and they did about 15 rounds of woo with the trophy. And I was like, did y'all pull out some champagne? Y'all already lit. But they was lit.
Yeah, they did not. But it was super cool in that corner. So I was one of like the front people because one, I move people out my way. And it was tight in that corner. But it was just such a cool experience to see just MARTA leading chants and being in that scrum. I got this really hilarious photo of Ali Watt just hugging the shield.
Her first baby, she said.
Yeah. And I don't know if anyone noticed that they were Black in the like celebrations, they were flashing like it was written in the stars behind the Orlando, because I was just snapping. I had like over 700 photos, something wild. And as I'm editing and I'm cleaning it up, you can see it in the sky.
Mm.
So there's a bunch of photos where it's like them lifting the trophy and that's in the sky because they were flashing it in the sky.
That's dope.
When Orlando was like celebrating in like purple and blue. It was so cool.
Yeah, I didn't see it, but I'm really excited to see the photos and some of that, you know, as they come out. That's really cool. I think, yeah, they did a good job of celebrating somehow, bump right into Grant Hill and to me again. It might be a sign at this point after this weekend.
Oh, yeah, he remembered me. He was like, yeah.
You're hard to forget, Sky. You're hard to forget.
Yeah, we were like, yeah. He tried to, we can't go full.
But yeah. And it was a really interesting weekend. Obviously, Tom and I are doing a lot of the more like traditional press stuff. Like we got called on every single time. That never happens. And again, we're able to ask, I hope, really thoughtful questions. So obviously they started with Jonah Heraldes, who's never really lost like that. So he did not enjoy it.
Oh no. Like every.
Yeah. He was not happy. Ooh. And then I think they bought out Aubrey and Esme Morgan, who had her welcome to the league moment. You know, and everybody took accountability, which I really respected. Like, that's a sign of a good locker room. And then, of course, Marta and Barbara Banda came out as the representatives for Orlando, clearly ready to party, but clearly knowing they had to do that first. And then
listen, before Seb came in, Haley Carter came in the room and said, y'all got 8 minutes.
We had a few drinks. It was fine, but she's doing her job. And so, yeah, we ended with Seb Hines and Tom. I think you asked one of the questions of the weekend to Seb Hines. You got to go first, actually. Shout out to Jeff again.
Yes.
Just a really thoughtful question about Seb and what it means to be the first Black coach and what does that mean for others, you know, coming behind you? And like you said earlier, he's just an incredibly thoughtful person. He doesn't run away from it and that responsibility. And so I'm so, so glad you got to ask that, particularly as a Black man asking another Black man in that space, that question. I think not only did he need to answer, but people needed to see that it was you asking it. And it was me, you, and Andre. I don't think there was many other, or Tamara, like that was it.
Yeah.
Nobody else looked like us in that room.
Remember that photo I sent of the...
Nope. Can't do it. I will leave the podcast. I know exactly what she's talking about.
Okay. Yeah. I'll be nice.
Okay. But yes, that so like that's the stuff I noticed, but yeah, I mean that was pretty much our day and I guess our weekend and just
after party. So like again, they still had a watch party, but then after party. So they had food trucks and stuff. And so we went back after talking to players. And so there were players there and then other people showed up. So our variety of people we met over the weekend who came and people were playing Uno. DJ Duke was back on the ones and twos.
Mm-hmm.
Turn it up.
Love that lady. Love that lady.
People had Uno cards on their forehead. People was wilding. No, DJ Duke was wilding with the Golden Girls and then the SVU. She said it was time to go.
It was that. People got to learn how to do the mute. Everybody on mute challenge. It took us a few times to do that.
So I wasn't paying attention the first time it happened.
Yeah, no one was. That was the problem.
And then I got looked at and I was like, what did I do? And then she did it again and I was like, oh, my bad.
Yeah.
Oh, and this was at Vaughn City, by the way.
Yeah, which is the Vaughn Street Black owned brewery in Missouri.
Vaughn Street.
So shout out to them. They got some really good stuff. I'm not a beer drinker, but they got some really good stuff.
They got some good ciders. Beers.
And then yeah, like I said, there was Uno being played, and when Black people play Uno, it's a sporting event.
Yeah. They went from like four people to like 9 very quick.
Yeah, it was interesting. And yeah, it was good times, good alcohol. Like it was just again that last sort of hurrah sense of community. We had ourselves a good old time. Everybody, I don't know what Drake's talking about because everybody was rapping along to Not Like Us, so it was great.
I'm no bot, but
we played it.
Triple platinum. Triple platinum in my house. Okay.
So yeah, I'm getting the 5. Yeah, like any final thoughts on the weekend overall, and if you have a song on your heart that encapsulates that, you can share it.
Oh, word to the BWPC. Word to Afia, yes. Serena, Kayla,
All y'all. Also, shout out to Monty Dorsey.
Who were the content people? They were great too from KCD.
Shout out to Kasavia.
PJ. PJ, shout out to LT from Athlete Ally.
Yeah, LT.
Dallas, Texas's finest.
Shout out to all the people in the streets.
What is this, the Music Choice Awards?
Shout out to all the players.
My mama and God.
Shout out to all y'all who entertain my crazy thought processes throughout the weekend. Word to y'all.
BET Awards. Get the
entertained, ignored. Yeah,
like I said, shout out to PJ again for being a raw dog. I didn't have my Najee Harris moment, but we out here. And then shout out to Diana, Alex, Melissa, Anissa, Tom, Ebony, the manager, Sills. Shout out to the ladies at the desk at the Fontaine, because I didn't lost my ID. By the way, I lost my ID, so that's why I couldn't come to the bar thing. And I had to get myself into a party. We're not going to bring that up, though. Anyway, didn't have no ID. But shout out to y'all, because even though the California temporary ID, it looks conspicuous. Like, shout out to y'all holding me down. That's all I got.
Yeah, and honestly, that Midwest Nights thing is very real.
Oh, yeah, that was fun. Shout out to all the nice white people. Yeah. It was a lot of nice white people.
We had some chatty Uber drivers.
Yeah.
It's very flat. It's very cold. There's a lot of overpasses and bridges. But it's a cool city, and it's got a really unique and rich history. Shout out to you, Tom, for, you know, giving me an education on Kansas City. It's very spread out for not a very populated place. And I will only be staying on the Missouri side when I go back, but I will go back.
I ain't never going back to Kansas. You don't even ask me.
Don't even ask me.
You can take it off the map.
Shout out to Tom's mom and dad for the
podcast. Yes!
So good.
Love it.
Costco.
Costco queen.
You know, we
Costco queen. Your mother is the most Midwestern woman I've ever met. And I mean that in the most complimentary way possible. Sorry, Alex, we didn't take you to see the dog. She's very upset about that.
Oh, she might come.
It's okay, Alex. That'll just be your Alex. You can come. Yes, please come back. Like, yeah, I'll show you the dogs. Yes.
He's very friendly.
Yes. I would say that for me, it's just been like really cool, like building this sense of community with the three of you.
Okay. It's been so cool building community with the three of you, and being able to break in this space. And, I basically being able to be a beat writer, for all intents and purposes. And, that's just been a super cool experience, and just meeting you all in person, has just been a privilege, because you are, even better people than you are journalists, and you're damn good journalists, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you.
But yeah, it was incredible being shown to Kansas City by somebody from Kansas City, and getting to see Tom in person and work with him closely all weekend, and seeing again just how much work he's put into covering the current for us, and we'll continue to do so. So the only thing I didn't get to do was try the barbecue. And yes, I know, Ebony, you're not sad about that. I'll go back for sure.
I had some burnt ends.
I do love burnt ends. I was really sad.
And they were really good. But
where'd you go?
Yeah. I just had them with breakfast.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because everybody has a different answer for where their spot is.
Yeah.
Boy, did they tell you all about barbecue. Like, it is definitely barbecue town.
Including the racist white man that came to pick us up from the skills challenge.
We saw all of his stuff on the phone as he was driving. I was like, I don't feel like you should be doing two things at once like that, but that's all right.
Word.
I'm done. I don't edit. So y'all have so much fun.
Wait,
so much fun.
This is just a sky edit.
We gonna close it out. So what we gonna do? We gonna
stay hydrated. Wait.
Before you do that, you definitely need to say bye to your sponsors.
Yes.
Oh, my bad. Do
all that fun stuff. Business hour here. So, yes, shout out to, again, BWPC. It's Black Women's Players Collective. And Athlete Ally and Perfect Soccer for helping us get to Kansas City, get content, and get home from Kansas City. We've never had that before, so it was very nice, and it was a pleasure to work with all of them. And shout out to our sponsors, Carolyn Nettles and Gal Pals, who again we saw all weekend. Shout out to Leslie and Emily, and the continued.
Oh, shout out!
Shout out to all our teams in the culture universe, cultureverse, as FTC would say. Shout out to Grego. We did it. The merch was fire. We did it. We did it. Thank you. We stood out for sure. And it seems like everybody got their stuff. So that's really dope. Shout out to Can I Kick It? Walking Freedom, or Walking 90. Ooh.
Wow. That was a lot.
I am. It's late.
Walking Freedom.
Dreaming of Freedom.
Walking 90. I might have been a Freudian slip after November election there. Yeah, shout out to Kai Aspire. Clearly, we're going to need your services here in the future. Shout out to the street team. Obviously, we had Tom with us. Ebony's not street team anymore, but in our hearts, you always are. Nubia, Maya, everybody who's helped us along the way. Now
you can do your...
Now what are we going to do?
Wait, hold on, pause. And then say what you were going to say, Tom.
Oh, I was just going to say shout out to Em for giving me of Gal Pal Sports for giving me a big hug outside of the press room because I was overcome by the thoughtfulness of Seb Hines' answer to my question.
Aw, word. And so with that, we are ready to go. What are we going to do? We're going to stay hydrated.
Stay melanated.
We're going to make sure the Black women in your life, everybody's life, is celebrated, are celebrated.
And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated. And squabble up.
Squabble up. Also, to the teams that didn't embarrass me this weekend. And word to Georgia Tech. We sorry we couldn't do it for the country. But yeah, stay up, stay Black. Keep it real. Everybody say bye.
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 I'm like, watching pieces fall in place. You know I'm hoping they line up. I've been watching pieces fall in place. You know I'm hoping they line up. I've been watching.
She got the tide. in this circle around you. There's some shit that I'm tired of. She left me in pieces trying to catch a wave. We ain't in North Carolina.